Thank you again, brethren, for getting us started. The title for the considerations is In Perspective. In Perspective. Brother Don, please.
Thank you, Brother Ed, and thank you, Brother Harry. Without the Lord's help, we never have a discourse. And we appreciate this wonderful privilege of being with all the Lord's special treasures. And each one of you are, for sure, and become more so every time we meet you. And one thing we've always noticed is that the peace and calmness of the brethren is just increased every year. You know, if we haven't seen you for a year, it's amazing. The difference. You might not see it yourself, but we sure do. And we'd like to bring the love to, again, of the your brethren in Ithaca, New York, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. We meet with them, too, every week. And brethren all there sent their love to you. And our discourse here really comes from a request that we had from Sister Karen Wildblood. And so it's not my idea. That was hers. And everything we have on here is from Brother Russell. So that's not my idea either. But I really like it. But I will take claim for any mistakes I might have made with it, or if I make speaking about it today, that's my fault. It's not that there's anything wrong with any of the chronology in any place. So we just really appreciated it. Just in general here, I'd like to take a look at why Sister Karen liked to draw things in circles here. Because if you look on your computer and you wanted to know how much memory there was, all you need to do is just right-click on the drive, and there's a pie chart, and it just at a glance, you don't have to know anything about megabytes and gigabytes and terabytes and all of this kind of stuff. You just take a look, and, oh, I'm a quarter full. And so that's what Sister Karen always drew the charts. And it also here, when you draw it in a chart accurately, this is accurate to 3, 6, 9 decimal places in rotational precision on this. And these are the ages here, the world that was the patriarchal age, Jewish age, gospel age, millennial age, and their 40-year harvest here. So, note, this is to scale. And note, on your Divine Plan of the Ages chart, Brother Russell has the symbol like that on there that says not to scale. And the reason it's not to scale is, look at this versus, and here we'll take a look at it, I also have it on a linear chart. There's what the divine plan line, vertical lines and the loops would look like if it was to scale. You have a hard time understanding it, and just to get an idea here, here's how far you have to zoom in to see the 40-year harvest. So not to scale is for a purpose. And why on the chart is the gospel age harvest bigger than the Jewish age harvest? It's because there's a lot more in it to show. And in drawing, we call this draftsman's license. You take things so that you can see and understand them better so that people won't make mistakes when they're making parts. The Lord did it for us that way, write down the vision and make it plain upon tables, so that he who readeth may run. or read it fluently. Different translations there, both good. And so we appreciate why it needed to be not to scale. But this is what how it is when it is to scale. So when we looked at the divine plan in a circle here, the way we did it is this is a Bible chronology in the seventh day, and I appreciate Brother Ed brought that to my attention. Well, you've got Adam's birth in there as well, and that was in the sixth day. So that's why we edited our title then, Bible Chronology and the Seventh Day. And it's extremely easy to do this. This is not difficult. You take 360 degrees divided by 7,000, and that's the angle for 1 year. So you multiply however many years you want times that angle and put the angle on, which is easy, then you end up with the pie chart like this. And as soon as I started putting things on the chart, I realized I need this. And I really thank Sister Karen for having the idea of doing it that way. And I think we'll see here why very quickly. So we know, and oh, by the way, here too, on your charts, these lines right here in green there and the scriptures are right out of the volume. And I think you can read it on the handout, but the first one here, the first 1656 years, volume 2, page 43. So that's how it's working. Earlier ones, I didn't have that in there, and I go to it and I'm hunting for the page. I thought, well, let's make it easy. So we tried to add whatever makes it real easy to assist you in a study. All this is a pictorial view of what is already there. So prove it. Don't believe a word I said. Brother Russell said the same thing. He made one other statement just before he said Adam lived 130 years and begat Seth. Right before that, he said, look up every scripture citation so that you can know that this is from God and not from man. And that's the thing that just thrills us down to our toes. When you go through, I mean, this is nice to look at it, but there's a good thing if you look at what's there and you believe it and you hope it's true. I appreciated Brother Robert talking about hope there. You read it and you hope it's true, then you're going to be like the Bereans of old. They received the truth with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures to see whether these things were so. If you're looking for it to be wrong, then you're not going to be able to learn. God won't let you understand. And been there and done that on some things, and we really appreciated the lessons and are so thankful we don't have to figure it out. The meat in due season to the household of faith, is it? So 130 years, Adam begat Seth. Then 105 years, and Seth begat Enos. 90 years, Enos begat Canaan. 70 years, Canaan begat Mahalalel. 65 years, Mahalalel begat Jared. And these are the scriptures, of course. 162 years, and Jared begat Enoch. 65 years, and Enoch begat Methuselah. 187 years, and Methuselah begat Lamech, Noah's dad. So then, an interesting thing I put in here that was like, wow, I need this, is what happened. Is here's where Adam died. And, by the way, all of these BC dates that we've got going on here were, we had to go back to get those dates because we can't know those dates at this point in time. We have the advantage of hindsight right here because we've already linked it with secular history, but as you're going through it in the volume, it doesn't mention anything about the dates because you can't know what they are yet. And there's one other thing. Without the Jubilees, you can't know where the dates are actually locked into the 7,000 years. And the 7,000 years, you wouldn't have any clue as you're going down through this originally. You don't know if it's 50,000 years or 5,000 years or what until you get far enough along and you learn about the times of restitution and how long it lasts. The Lord's Day, 1,000 years, 2 Peter. Okay, so we get down here. What's worthy of note here is that Methuselah and Lamech both knew Adam. That'll get interesting a little further. So then Lamech lived 182 years and begat Noah. So you see, it wasn't all that far before the flood. Adam was still here. Or, well, the flood's a little ways out yet, but for Noah's birth, Adam was not that far away from it. Okay, then in Genesis 5:32, this isn't, the things in here in orange are just added FYI information that's here. That's not in the volume, but you can find it in other places. So when Noah was 500 years old, he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And an interesting thing there is they're not in that order. And we'll find out in a minute, because 500 years old is when he begins having children. If they were twins or triplets, that would be very noted in the scripture, because, you know, Jacob and Esau. And we always say Jacob and Esau, but who came out first? Esau. And so here, even though it says Shem, Ham, and Japheth, we're going to find out Shem did not. He wasn't born first. Then, from when Noah was 182 here, then 600 years later was when the flood dried up in that year. And Noah then, of course, was 600 years old, meaning that here, that was 100 years from the time that Noah was born to the flood, because this was a 500, it was 500 years old here. So the next part, that brings us to the 1656 years, which is your first list in Volume 2 on the chronology. And then 2 years after the flood, Genesis 11:10, Shem begat Arphaxad when he was 100 years old. So that means Noah was 502 when Shem was born. And then other scriptures that I have listed, you can look up later, show that Ham was the younger son, because Shem and Japheth held the blanket. Remember, Noah was naked after because of Ham after the flood, when the grapes fermented and he got drunk. So Shem and Japheth took a blanket behind them and covered up their father, whom the younger son had uncovered. So that means Ham was the youngest, Shem was second, Japheth was first. Now there is a scripture, and we learn from studying about hell, Sheol, and finding out that some of the interpretations are not correct in some places. There's other little corrections that Brother Russell makes in chronology when you're comparing Usher's chronology and so forth. Well, there's one there in, it's in Genesis where it says that Japheth was the, some translations say that Japheth was the oldest, and other translations like the King James, in kind of in a goofy way, but indicate that Shem was the oldest. Some of the translations directly state that Shem was the oldest, but every single translation that I've looked at, which was about 12 for sure, I have that many in Esord, every single one of them say that Shem begat Arphaxad when he was 100 years old, 2 years after the flood. So that clears it up, just like Brother Robert explaining to us about hope. You know, you look at the actual translations and how the words used and where, and compare it with other scriptures. There's some of the Bibles were contradicting the statement of when Shem was born, trying to make it him be the firstborn, and other ones didn't, but they were all in agreement that he was 100 years old, 2 years after the flood. That makes Noah 602 then. So God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Then continuing here, then Arphaxad begat Selah when he was 35, and then 35 years later, Selah begat Eber. 34 years later, Eber begat Peleg. And then 30 years after that, Peleg begat Reu. 32 years after that, Reu begat Serug. 30 years after that, Serug begat Nahor. And then 29 years after that, Nahor begat Terah, who is Abraham's father. And then, I just threw in here, here's when the Great Pyramid was built. 2140 BC, Great Pyramid Passages, Volume 2, Section 31. And then Abraham, here's one here. This is was a big surprise. I added it because I just saw it as we were going over this again. Check this one. Noah died at 950 years old, 2 years before Abraham was born. Isn't that incredible? And we got one hanging out there yet, and that's when Shem died. Okay, so then what we've got is, it was 205 years from Terah to the covenant with Abraham in 2045 BC, Genesis 11:32. And what's really important about that one, too, is Abraham was 75 years old when the covenant was given to him, because as soon as his father died, Terah, at 205, he entered into the land of Canaan, and Abraham was 75 years old when he entered the land of Canaan. So, consequently, Terah was actually 130 when Abraham was born, not 75 when he begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So it makes that crystal clear. Okay, then we don't know when, there's nothing to follow for finding how long it was from the Abrahamic covenant to the Exodus in the Old Testament. So you have the jump to the New Testament with some help from the Old. Here's your scriptures for that out of the Volume 2. Everything in green, remember, is in second volume there. And so we had the, up here, we had the 427 years of the total here to the covenant with Abraham. And then, as Stephen and the Apostle Paul show us, it was 430 years from the covenant to the Exodus, with a special note there, to the day that they entered into the wilderness there. So we just really appreciate that in God's design, things are to the day. And so if he gives periods of time for something that seems to be rounded off, as Brother Russell said, you know that the sum total of all of the rounded off numbers, like in the Kings, if you look in Chronicles, they're just listed at even amounts. But if you go to Jeremiah and everything, you find out, you know, it's 3 years and 2 months and 5 days and things like that in there. But God rounded them off. How would we know to look here for that? Well, we needed to meet in due season to the household of faith to direct us to the correct scriptures to look at. You dig in deep, you just get more details on what's already there. There's nothing wrong with the other amounts of time, as Brother Russell shows. So since God gives long periods to the day, then his rounding off things, like in the Chronicles with the Kings, that is accurate as well. So then, okay, what's our next period there? We have a total of 46 years, the 40 years wandering in the wilderness and the 5 years spying out the land. They had to get there. So there was a total of 6 years. And the 40 years in the wilderness, and that you've got that in Deuteronomy, and remember Caleb was 40 years when he went to spy out the land, and he was 45 when he came, and they went in and took it. So that was the five, and then a year to get to the promised land that they should have entered in the first place. But God knew they wouldn't, so... So that's what we could really appreciate, too. Okay, so here, just a few things to take a look at here. From Adam to the flood is almost a quarter of the history of man on earth. That's pretty amazing. Then we're going to go a little bit further here to another interesting thing, keeping that in mind. During this period of time here, of course, Abraham was 75 years old when he went into Canaan. Abraham had Isaac at 100 years old, and Shem died right here. So Shem was alive for almost a third of Earth's, or of the history of man on the earth, or actually maybe a little bit over. And so one thing I thought is really neat, if we can get it all in here, make it be a little hard to see in the back, but here we have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If we backed up here, remember Methuselah and Lamech were alive while Adam was alive. Then here's where they died. Lamech died at 770 years old, 5 years before the flood. Right there. Here's the flood. Methuselah died at 969. We don't believe he died in the flood because the scriptures don't say so, but he died the year of the flood. Consequently, both Lamech and Methuselah, who are Isaac's, of course, talking about Shem here. Shem is Noah's son. So Lamech is his grandfather, and Methuselah is his great-grandfather. And here's where Adam died. So obviously Methuselah and Lamech could have known, and no doubt did know, Adam. And we go down here. Let's see who was born before Shem died. Isaac, 50 years. Shem could have said to Isaac, my dad and my two brothers and I and my grandfather and my great-grandfather built the ark, and my grandfather and my great-grandfather knew Adam. So you get this far down in the circle to right there from Adam's creation all the way around here with a second-hand information about Adam. That's pretty amazing. Do we think we have a real good indicator that the Bible is accurate about what happened in the Garden of Eden? You know that would have been the number one story that Adam that Adam would have told his children. And here Isaac had just it's thrilling when I think about that, the connection that had to be there from the ancient ones at that time. Okay, so let's continuing on here. Then we have the law was given when they went into the wilderness. Then you had the 46 years, and then we have that's to the division of the land, and the 430 years from the covenant with Abraham. So the total there was the 450 years. Then you get into the period of the kings, or the 450 years was the period of the judges. I'm sorry there. And so we get into the period of the kings, and if you look at Acts 13, 18 to 21, Saul's space was 40 years. And so we know Saul reigned for 40 years. Everything else is just chronologically listed right in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Brother Russell gives us all of the references here for each king and how long God is considering that they reigned. So you have the period of the kings then totaling them up. That's 513 years. We'll skip that because, you know, you can just run right down through the list and look up every scripture so you know God said it. And that makes a big difference. I was talking to my mom one time, and I mentioned to her that in the last day and the resurrection, a man's flesh shall become as fresh as a child's. And I've been saying that for years. My mom says, oh, the Bible doesn't say that. And I said, well, just a minute. Let me look it up and see. And then I said, Mom, you're right. The Bible doesn't say that. It says a man's flesh shall be fresher than a child's. And why is that? Babies are born dying. God was right, I was wrong. I was really happy. And my mom was really surprised. And I'm hoping she appreciates that more. She's 97 now. And so here then we have the period of the kings, and you know, you go right down there, and then of course Zedekiah is dethroned, taken captive into Babylon, and they're in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And there's many scriptures of the 70 years, and here's one of them that Brother Russell quotes there, 2 Chronicles 36, verses 20 to 23. So they're in there 70 years. We still don't have a link yet. But this is it happens now. So at the end of the 70 years, in 536 BC, that's when the Edict of Cyrus is. And it's easy to find. You just do a search on the internet, Edict of Cyrus, 536. And Brother Russell said it was 536. We can check history. It's 536. Secular history was good. All of a sudden, now we can run backwards from there and just keep adding how many years, and throwing these dates in. So we got 536 minus or plus 70, because we're heading more B.C. So 606 B.C. then would be when Nebuchadnezzar was the king over Israel. And it was for so that the land could enjoy her Sabbath, or Sabbath system, the Jubilees. So then, chronologically, skipping over the Jubilees a minute, then you've got the 70 years plus 536 B.C. for a grand total of 428 years to B.C. A.D. So then Brother Russell's thinking, okay, that looks like things are stacking up here to be a 7,000-year day, because we know that the kingdom is 1,000 years long, 2 Peter chapter 3, day with the Lord, and that the times of restitution, he knew they were in it, and the Lord was present. But when did he come? Don't know. He's here for sure, but when did he get here? And Brother Russell's day there. So then he thought, okay, so if it's 7,000 years total, let's see how many years we've got to have the 6,000 that's left out of the day of the Lord, the times of restitution. Well, that leaves 6,000, and oops, you subtracted that from the 4,128, and it would be that either you can say either the end of 1872 or the beginning of 1873 there. And then we'll find out the Jubilees are indicating a different day, and that's if you want to search and find the description of that, look for screw loose. Brother Russell said there was a screw loose, and he went over and over the chronology. Well, if you go over and over all of these scriptures, what do you keep coming up with? The exact same numbers. And so that's when he said it must have been that Adam was in the Garden of Eden for 2 years. And so now we want to take a look, if we go all, well, we won't look up there yet. So now we want to take a look at the Jubilee cycles. They were told that when they entered the land of Canaan, they should start the Sabbath system. And they were told, oops, I got to get up here. So here's your beginning of the first typical Jubilee up here. This is where they entered in. That's when they went into the wilderness. There's entering into the land of Canaan. Yeah, entering into the land officially. So that's when they would begin the Sabbath system, which was what? They had 7 or 6 years, and then a Sabbath year, and then they have another 6 year and a Sabbath year when they had 49 years, or 7 times 7. Then that the 49th year would have been a Sabbath year, but then the 50th year is a Jubilee year. So the way we represented that on here, I hope you can see it in the back, or here I can zoom way up on it. I put a circle or a dot in here for, this is 1 year long in the 7,000-year circle. And so the 49th year would be here, and then they had the Jubilee. Well, the Israelites performed Jubilees until they went into captivity in Babylon, which was 19... Let me find that. Let's see. Okay, that would be right here. And if you you can see it on your chart too, you can just take your little point Sharpie pencil or something and count them. There's 19 Jubilees, and then each one of these circles here is a Jubilee. and you'll find there's 19 of them, but then in the 20th one, they're in captivity in Babylon because this is 606 BC. And then remember, too, just a hint that it's right, there's 19 years from when they should have started celebrating the Jubilee to where they went into captivity. So there was 19 years, but 19 years there, and there's 19 Jubilees. Just kind of a little extra. So here's what I did here. These wouldn't have to be here on this side. This is the Jubilee according to the prophecy. And then on the bottom side here, it's the Jubilee according to the law. So here they were performing the Jubilees, but so there's a Jubilee year in there. Each one of these has a dot on it for the year that they performed it. And then remember the key for Brother Russell was Jesus saying not one jot nor tittle could pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Get as big as I can inside here. That's barely up there. Okay. So there's the first Jubilee that they celebrated, and then 19 later is here. And then they went into captivity, which presented a big problem. They were in captivity for 70 years under the land enjoying her Sabbaths. And so they couldn't have performed a Jubilee there. So how could the God's law about the Jubilee have passed away? God said, or Jesus said too, it couldn't. Not one jot nor tittle could pass from the law until all be fulfilled. So Brother Russell was thinking about, you know, when we count to Pentecost, 7 times 7 or 49 days, and then you, and here for the Jubilees, they were squaring the years, 7 times 7 years, and then there was a Jubilee year. What if you squared the Jubilees? And so the 50-year cycles, if you squared that, that would be 2,500 years. And so what we did just to show it on here is I have the Jubilees according to the prophecy on the one side, Jubilees according to the law on the other side. So by the law, they should have had 50 antitypical Jubilee counting cycles after the typical 19 ended. So what I did in AutoCAD was I copied this loop here with the Jubilee year on it. So from the end of that Jubilee to the beginning of this one, and it's called an array command. I just did a polar array, and I put in 50. And a few circles appeared over here. I didn't go look to see what happened at the other end. And then what the prophecy shows is what actually happened. So they had the Jubilees over here, prophetically. Here's the 7 times 7, 49 years, and the Jubilee followed it. On the 19th one that they kept, the Jubilee followed it. On the 20th one, they were in captivity in Babylon, and they couldn't perform that Jubilee. So after the 19th one, here's the 49 years. Let's blow it way up so you can see it in the back there. So here's the 49th year ending here, but because they were in captivity, they couldn't perform the Jubilee. So prophetically, we've got to start the next counting cycle of 49 years with the Jubilee missing. How many Jubilees were there supposed to be? How many years were they in captivity? 70 years. There were supposed to be 70 years. Okay, so how many have we got here? Back here. 19 of them, even though it was half-heartedly, 19 of them they kept. So 70 minus 19 is 51 that Brother Russell talks about there. So there's 51 left that we need to do. So coming back over here in the program, what I did was I copied this loop from right here. I'm one ahead of myself here. Okay, this one right here, I copied that loop there, and I arrayed it 51 times. So this will all get to what happens if you missed a year, or what if you added a year. This makes it real easy to see. What we're going to do here is we've got visual mathematics of every single Jubilee cycle. We've got 51 of the prophetic Jubilees or cycles without the Jubilee year. And then we have the 50 times 50. And there's an extremely important thing about this too. The 50 times 50 is the antitype. It starts counting right here. So there's the 19th one. Here's where the antitype starts counting. So this is number one, because it's only 150-year antitypical cycle to the end of the Jubilee there. Over here, we're continuing to count on the 70. So they started at two completely different places. That's the important thing to realize with it. The antitypical counting was here. I think in the future I may change the color of this one, because that's the typical counting, and then here's the antitypical counting. So there's the 20th, and then it would be the 21st, and the second one down here. And then I didn't fill all these blanks. But here's what's going to happen now if we take a look at this. We start moving through, and each time, let's zoom in a few so you can see what happens. Here's one missing here and one missing there. So this is shifted back 2 years. If we move into the next one, this will be 3 years off. It's missing this one. It's missing the one that would be right there. And it's missing the one that would be right there, but it's not missing in the antitypical 50-year cycles. So as we start moving along, then it gets a little bigger, getting a little bigger, getting a little bigger. Let's go in a little further so we can watch it happen a little faster. Going to zoom in. Can you still see this in the back? Okay. Okay, keep watching. It's getting closer to the middle of the thing here, the further we go around that circle. We're past the center. And this would be what would be happening if you sat down and you calculated each one, and then we threw the dates in beside each one if you wanted to, and the total number of years. We're just keep, add the 49, add the Jubilees are still there in this. See there, that year is still hiding in there. And okay, so we keep going. We're getting closer. Something's going to happen here pretty soon. So here we go. There is the 70th one of the prophetic cycles. Here's the 50th of the antitypical counting. And if there would have been a one-year Jubilee, that would have been it. But the antitype displaces the type always. Jesus was the true Passover lamb. They celebrated the Passover, and then he was the true one. And so here, guess what this big, I made it fat up here so it's easier to see. So what did this run into? Earth's Great Jubilee, the 1,000 years bringing you right up to here, which is where the 7,000 years started. There's Adam's 2 years in the Garden of Eden, and the end of the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. So, it comes out perfect, just like Brother Russell says. Now, we could look at either end of this, but let's go look at the starting end first, so we can think about what Brother Russell said is, what if they were able to celebrate the 20th Jubilee cycle? How would that affect all of this? Well, that would mean they successfully did this one, and we would change that from saying the first to nothing. We would have 20 in here. This would be the first going out here. So that means, since that's shifted one, up at the other end, we would have one more law cycle sticking out at the other end with a jubilee on it. Because the counting would have started 1 year more advanced in time, clockwise here. And so, but what would have happened to the counting according to the prophecy? What would happen there? Okay, so here was the 19th one. We've got a jubilee here. There's 70 total. So this is still the 20th one here. But at this end of it, if they kept this one, then there would be the jubilee year in here, and we would move this line for the next 49 years over to this side of that dot. 1 year. And then we would continue to put them all up there. So the internal line here, that's the 51, because now there'd be 49 that they didn't do, but that doesn't make any difference in the 70, because 20 would leave 50, and you would go 50 out, and 20 of them kept, 50 of them not, still 70. This, the blue one here at the other end, would be at the other side of this jubilee cycle here, and this dot would be on the other side of it if he had the year over there. So it would make a 1 year difference in the case of this, but it would move this whole cycle here out there. So it would be 49 years from synchronizing. When we came around, it wouldn't have synchronized. My law years would have been out there by one. The prophetic years would have moved just 1 year, where the other one, its cycle started a whole cycle later, so it's a whole cycle out. If you went the other direction, we would come over here. This point right here would be just 1 year back for where the 70 would have ended. And we would have lost this one because the first one would have been a year sooner. So that really helps you see what Brother Russell was saying, the miraculousness of this coming out even. And 1 year off makes a huge difference. And the other miraculous thing about it is, over here is where the 70 years of Jubilee started counting. Over here is where the antitypical counting started. So if you altered anything chronologically, they can't match. It's like he talks about the lock that has a bunch of wards on it, or a bunch of steps in a lock. This is one of them, or two of them, actually, the Jubilee according to the law and the Jubilee according to the prophecy. So you gain that, and I have these blow-ups on there so you can kind of see on your chart there, this is just in here so that you can see it a little bit easier. Another really cool thing was one of our brethren in Chicago came to me after, this been years ago about this, and she says, you know, the Jubilee counting must be extremely important. And she says, God used half of mankind's existence on planet Earth describing it. I thought that was a good observation. I didn't even think about that. Here's the beginning. And, you know, it's like, wow. And it really puts things into perspective, you know. And here we are. There's 2017. We're this far into the thousand-year reign of our Lord. And then, see, once we then knew, and oh yeah, the date, by the way, here, let's zip out here where we can really see it. 1872, this is the chronological 6,000 years. And then here's what the Jubilees showed, that's 1874 was our Lord's return. And then the 2 years here then were the 2 years of Adam in the Garden of Eden. And just a few other things I'll explain here just real quick. I think we're almost out of time.
Yeah, you got a minute.
Okay. This chart here, the only thing that might seem confusing is I've got morning and evening, but note here I've got an arrow on it. This is clockwise too. I just showed the creative days and then what was done in each creative day and the scriptures that went with it. And so clockwise is forward in time. So here's the first day, just like we're looking at the big chart. Second day, third day, because I had someone ask me, why aren't these going around that way? But that's why. The evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning, the second day. And so this can be just a little study aid laying there as you're studying the Jubilees and all of the chronology here, just to have it in perspective. And may the Lord add his blessing.